start, 3 o'clock. We pay respect mindfully, develop the sadha 3 times to Sakyamuni Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then after that, we get Sister Li to help us to start their Mahayana Puja, the Heart Sutta. Okay, we will pay respect first. Okay, Sister Lee, you can start.
Thank you, Brother Teo. Again, mindfully, we pay homage to Bensi Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo Namo Guanxing Pusa and one time chanting of Po Ye Polo Mi Duo Sing Jing. Dr. Ching, we go slow for the Sing Jing so that they can join. Try to join in. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guanxing Pusa. Namo Guanxing Pusa. Namo Guanxing Pusa. Po Ye Po Lo Mi Duo Sing Jing. Guan Zi Zai Pu Sa Xing Sen Po Ye Po Lo Mi Duo Zi. 照见无蕴皆空度一切苦厄舍利子舍不异空空不异舍舍即是空空即是舍受想行智解福如是舍利子是处法空相不生不灭不垢不净不增不减是故空中无舍无受想行智 无眼耳鼻舍身意无色身香味诸法无眼界乃至无意之见无无明意无无明境乃至无老死意无老死境无苦集灭道无自意无得已无所得故菩提萨埵依般陀罗蜜多故心无挂碍无挂碍故 无有恐怖远离颠倒梦想究竟涅槃三世诸佛依波耶婆罗蜜多故得阿耨多罗三藐三菩提故知波耶婆罗蜜多四大神咒四大明咒是无上咒是无等等咒能除一切苦真实不虚 故说波耶婆罗蜜多咒即说咒曰揭谛揭谛婆罗揭谛婆罗僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃 Thank you, Brother Teo.
Sadhu. We will now continue with the Theravada Puja. We will chant the Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samasam Buddhasa 3 times. That is the salutation to the Buddha. Means we recite homage to thee, the blessed one, the worthy one, and the fully enlightened. Okay, we will recite together. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samasam Buddhasa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Kamesu Michachara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Musavada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Suramiraya Majapamadatana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to all the worthy ones. Okay, very good afternoon to all. Just relax yourself, then we can start. We shall continue with where we stop. I think today is our 10th lesson. You have to refer to your notes, the previous 9 Heart Sutta notes. We will go through this short note so as to develop a clearer and better understanding of the sutta discussed earlier on. There is a lot of importance in these short notes. If you can understand them, it can actually give rise to a lot of wisdom. Then if you were to re-listen to the same sharing again, the recording that Brother Suyan has helped to develop, if you listen with attentiveness and understanding, the Dhamma will stabilize, it will stand out, and you will receive it at another level. So it's important for you to actually reflect, contemplate into what you have heard. Then after that, with the short notes, develop the stable understanding. You have to assimilate what you have heard, what you have reflected and contemplated, into a very clear and stable understanding, giving rise to not only Suttamaya Panya, Chittamaya Panya. Then if you can have these two, it will prepare you to receive truth. Then awakening can happen anytime, any place, anywhere. Any of the three turning, it can trigger off. So make a note of this important advice. Okay, part one. Recap and emphasize or emphasis of the previous lesson. So I did discuss the 37 factors of enlightenment. But somebody asked me a question. What is the difference between the 7 factors of enlightenment and 37 factors of enlightenment? Actually, the 37 factors of enlightenment is a comprehensive, more broad-based coverage of the enlightenment factor. And the 7 Sattabhujanga, which the Buddha taught to the monk, they are the core the most important seven factors of enlightenment. So within the 37 factors of enlightenment, there are seven main factors of enlightenment, or Sattabhujanga, as taught by the Buddha, and they are: the first factor of enlightenment is sati, or mindfulness, and this is most important. Without this, you cannot start. The Buddha Dharma, the meditation, needs sati. Without sati, there is no heedfulness. Without heedfulness, you are as if dead. So bear this in mind. You need to train your mind to develop sati, or mindfulness and heedfulness. Otherwise, you cannot understand the Buddha's teaching, and you cannot use it to investigate the Dhamma, and you cannot develop the factors of enlightenment. So sati, or mindfulness, you have to understand, is the silent awareness before the knowing. When your mind is silent without thought, before the perception, before the knowing, before the thinking, before the words and the concept, before all this arise, that is the pure awareness, sati. Like the Buddha said, in the seeing, it's just the seeing consciousness, it's just the awareness, that consciousness, before the labeling, before the mind lashes onto it, to say, I see, or react to what you see, because you have what they call conditioning in your mind. Through memory, you perceive it. Then through your views and opinion, you react to it. That's how your mind gets into delusion. That's how your mind gets into suffering. So when you understand what sati is, you will know it's the silent awareness before the knowing. So don't be too eager to know. That's why when you develop the meditation, you just silence your mind. Then allow the mind to see things as they are. Allow the phenomena to tell you the characteristic and the story. Don't go and look for Dhamma. Don't go and look for words and concept to try to understand. Because once the thought is there, there is no more awareness, no more sati, and you cannot see things as they are. You are being conditioned by what your thought wants you to see. Understand not? So sati is very important. Mindfulness is very important. It's the silent awareness before the knowing. And this is the first factor of enlightenment. And it is also one of the five spiritual faculties. You remember when you train your mind to meditate, you must know what are the five hindrances. The five hindrances are those mental states that will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of peace and calm. So to reverse all this, you must develop the spiritual faculty. That is the faith, the sadha, the virya, then sati. Sati is one of them. So this is a very important factor of enlightenment. Because if you understand, without sati, you are as if dead. That's why the Buddha said, for sati is life, and without sati, there is no heedfulness. Hence, no life, and without sati, there is no heedfulness or the silent mind in pure awareness to investigate the Dhamma and to see the mental intention behind all your actions, speech and thought process. So this second factor of enlightenment, which is Dhamma Vichaya or Dhamma investigation, cannot come about without sati, because only the silent mind sati can investigate Dhamma. If you use the thought, you use the wrong instrument, because thought cannot see things the way sati see, because sati is without any conditioning. It just see things as they are, whereas thought is a conditioned entity. It is respond to memory. It has its content of consciousness. So there is delusion there. You cannot see truth. You cannot see reality. So this aspect of the mind, you have to understand clearly. So once you understand this, you will understand the importance of training your mind to have this heedfulness or mindfulness within sati. Then we move on. Dhamma vichaya or Dhamma investigation is the second factor of enlightenment. Only with sati or mindfulness is there the ability to investigate the Dhamma with the silent mind. When the Dhamma stand up to investigation, the faith of Sadda in the Buddha and his teaching will be strengthened, giving rise to very, very strong virya. Virya is the spiritual zeal or tenacity to cultivate. Because when your faith is very strong, you have a lot of joy, then your mind will have the energy to cultivate because you understand the importance of this teaching, of this Buddha Dharma. Then after that, when virya arises, virya or spiritual tenacity or energy or zeal is the third factor of enlightenment, and it will drive your meditation. Then once your meditation stabilizes, piti will arise. Piti is a type of spiritual joy or calmness, which is the fourth factor of enlightenment. So when piti stabilizes, become more and more tranquil, and if you don't cling on to it, when sukha arises, sukha is bliss, then it will transform into what they call pasati. Pasati is a tranquility of mind. The mind becomes so quiet, so tranquil, and it becomes very still. That's why it's also called the stillness of mind. Now, this is the fifth factor of enlightenment. When your mind becomes so quiet, so still, so silent, that is pasati. And it's very difficult to realize pasati unless you know how to let go, unless you have the wisdom. If you cannot see sabbe sankhara anicchang, sabbe sankhara dukkang, and sabbe dhamma anatta, without the initial insight or wisdom into the three universal characteristics of nature, impermanence, suffering state, and non-self, this tranquility cannot come about. Most of them can be in a state of one-pointedness, calmness, but that is not pasati. One-pointedness, calmness, or concentration without thought is not pasati. It's a conditioned state. Pasati is a natural state of stillness. The mind becomes still by itself through understanding, nothing else. Then once you are able to develop this, as your pasati stabilizes, means you can move from the state of formal meditation into the daily life. When your daily mindfulness is very stable, then your samadhi will develop. Samadhi is a stable state of pasati. This is before the wisdom becomes very strong and very stable. Initial wisdom can bring about some form of pasati. Then as this pasati gains strength, stabilizes, it becomes samadhi. So samadhi is the unwavering mind, collected mind. So at the moment of sight, at the moment of seeing, sense experience, hearing, thinking, or whatever, the mind is unwavering. Means you do not react to what you see, you do not react to what you hear and what you think. You can't have this ability to maintain the collected mind, unwavering mind. But sometimes this samadhi alone cannot free you because there are certain dhammas or certain wisdom that you need to realize or awaken to, especially Sakkaya Ditti. When you don't have that full understanding of what Sakkaya Ditti is, when the first noble truth hit, like separation from loved ones, it can be very traumatic. Then that yogi or that cultivator with a very stable samadhi, they can still have sadness, they can still have attachment, then their mind can still react and become afflicted. So this one needs the last factor of enlightenment to actually break free and clear. So samadhi alone not enough. That's why the Buddha said you continue to cultivate. With sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are. You must move into dhammanupassana, the fourth foundation of mindfulness. You must realize the enlightenment, especially the Four Noble Truths. That's why under dhammanupassana, there is a sequence that you have to cultivate. You have to move all the dhamma from the five hindrances. You develop awareness or mindfulness on it. Then the five aggregate of form and mind. Then you understand the six internal and six external sense bases. How your mind is stirred. How it conditions you into all this karmic negativity, the evil roots. So the moment you understand this, the wisdom starts to arise. But not strong. You can see. You understand, but you cannot do it yet. So the ability to do it is when the stability of wisdom come to be. So that one, the Buddha said, you need to understand the seven factors of enlightenment. When the enlightenment factors are there, you are aware, and you use it to cultivate. So the last part, equanimity, the last factor of enlightenment is very important. This one the Buddha talked about, upeka, or equanimity of all mental formation. So whatever movement of mind, activity of mind, or mental formation, which is the last of the seven factors of enlightenment, this factor enlightenment must arise. It will only arise once sati and samadhi has stabilized to see things as they are. Means you have the wisdom to accept the reality of the moment, leading to all the wisdom or panya, which is also the last of the five spiritual faculties. And now you see how it ties in. When you develop the five spiritual faculties, your faith will give rise to the virya. Virya will drive you to meditate. Sati will come to be. When sati stabilizes, samadhi will come to be. When there is sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are. Then you cultivate the daily mindfulness, sati sampajana. When that come to be, the wisdom, the insight, will give rise to panya, the last spiritual faculty. When panya is there, the Buddha called it yoniso manasikara. Manasikara is attention. Yoniso is wise. Wise attention at the moment of sense experience. So that time when you see something, hear something, think of something, or smell, taste, or tactile, you feel something. If there is wisdom, there is this yoniso manasikara at the moment of sense experience, at the moment of sense, what they call contact or attention. Then feeling will remain as pure feeling, even not conditioned craving, because this wisdom enable you to accept the reality of the moment. There is no craving, there is no delusion, there is no stirring of the mind. That's why you maintain your calmness, the equanimity within. That's how you awaken. That has to come after you have cultivated the Dhammanupassana, the last category of practice. After you have cultivated the understanding of the Four Noble Truths, which is the three turning of the Four Noble Truths, as taught by the Buddha under the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, and also under the Satipatthana Sutta. So when you have developed the three turning wisdom, the three type of corresponding wisdom that come with the three turning of the Four Noble Truths, you can become enlightened. When you become enlightened, the upeka, the last factor of enlightenment will come to be. That time, you are always at peace, no matter what happens, wherever you are, any place, any time, anywhere, you have upeka. Your mind does not stir. You are always at peace, happy, full of joy. Then you can appreciate life. Every moment and every instant of life is so beautiful because your mind is no longer deluded. Doesn't stir anymore. Okay? Can follow, huh? Okay. That covers the seven factors of enlightenment. Then I have a note down there. This karmically conditioned five aggregate of form and mind, or this segmented human form, you know, this body and mind that you come, this life, is karmically conditioned out, understand or not? For this life, you have this segment. They call you by this segment. Like for me, they call this one Brother Teo, okay? Of course, you can call yourself by anything, but that is just a label, a name given to this form and mind, and it's not you, understand or not? So if you understand this, then your delusion can actually go. Then you will know how to make use of this form and mind to help you to live life, to understand life. So I will read this again. This karmically conditioned five aggregate of form and mind, or this segmented human form, the human being, which you all call Brother Teo, is not me, but just only a tool and vehicle. You know what is a tool, isn't it? Something for you to make use of to help you, like a piece of knife or a what they call a tool, a equipment, help you to do certain things, like knife, help you to cut, shape, and do whatever you want. So it's a tool. Vehicle means take me around. That's why this body take me around, okay? So when I understand this, it becomes very simple. But just only a tool and a vehicle for me to come, means to come this life, and make use of to live life and to experience all of life to the fullest. This form of physical body of mind is just like the functional body of Lord Buddha. He called it the Nibbanakaya. Nibbanakaya is the functional body that performs the function of the Buddha 2,500 years ago. So this body of mind also say perform the function of what I am doing now. So when he became enlightened underneath the Bodhi tree, the Buddha himself, his spiritual perfection body, which he called the Sambhogayakaya. You know what is Sambhogayakaya? Your spiritual perfection body. After you have perfected all your spiritual development and cultivation, for the Buddha is the 10 perfection to be the Buddha. So he perfected them all. That's why it became his inheritance. And this is what he called the Sambhogayakaya, the spiritual body, after he has perfected, came back to him, and then they combined to make him the Buddha with the third transformed body called Dhammakaya. Dhammakaya is the body that speaks the Dhamma or proclaim the Dhamma. That's why he is the Buddha that speaks and proclaim the Dhamma. So you understand the three bodies, Nibbanakaya, Sambhogayakaya, when the two combine, it manifests into what they call Dhammakaya, the body that speak and teach the Dhamma or proclaim the Dhamma. So after understanding all this, you all should not cling on to your this karmically conditioned five aggregate of form and mind so deludedly. And the next time when you argue with your friend or your wife, you will understand that it's just one form and mind with its bundle of memories and its conditionings, views and opinion, etc., arguing with one another. So not so real and not what you think. So when you argue, you are not arguing with that person. You argue with another form and mind, understand or not? Which is the bundle of memory and its conditioning, its views and opinion. So if you understand this, you will not be so foolish as to get yourself into such argument. It brings about suffering to both, isn't it? More misunderstanding and more misery, isn't it? So why do you want to do that? So if you deludedly cling or grasp onto these five aggregates of form and mind as the I and the me, then you will have what the Buddha calls Sakkaya Ditthi, self-delusion. So Sakkaya is, Kaya is you know what is kaya, isn't it? Kaya is this body. So sakaya is delusion with regards to this body. Ditti is view. So sakaya ditti is wrong view with regards to this form and mind, this human being of yours. So self-delusion or wrong view with regards to the self or the atta will condition your egoic mind and personality to arise, leading to all your selfishness and possessiveness, and you will try to own, cling, grasp and possess things, wanting things your way, etc. Hence arising the whole mess of suffering. Like the Buddha said, when you cannot get what you want, you suffer. When things don't go your way, you suffer. Because that craving comes from delusion. You think you are real. You think you exist. That's why you think you can own thing and have thing and grasp onto thing. The Buddha gave 5 very good analogies to clearly explain the empty nature of this 5 aggregate of form and mind. He said your physical body or form aggregate is like foam. Appears so solid, but not so, because if you leave the foam for a while, it's gone. And the feeling aggregate is just like a bubble, arise and pass away so fast. That's why it's impermanent. Then the aggregate of perception is the same, because it is just like a mirage, the Buddha said. Like a mirage you see in the desert, appear like so real from afar, but just a mirage when you come near to it. Then the aggregate of sankhara or thinking or activity of mind is like peeling a banana tree stem. Layer after layer you peel. Finally at the core of it, it is empty. That's why sabbe sankhara anicchang and anatta. Impermanent and empty. Non-self. Lastly, the Buddha said, your aggregate of vijnanang or consciousness is just like a magician. A magician is also called an illusionist. Create illusion for you to see. Hence the reason why Mahayana always said that this world of ours is an illusionary world, a world of consciousness, so not so real and not what you think. Wake up and do not be deluded anymore. Understand or not? Because it's just a consciousness. Understand? Just an image in the mind. That's why the Buddha said, mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. Everything arises from the mind. When mind come to be, everything come to be. Like real, but never real. Understand or not? Because it's just what your thought tell you. What consciousness has created for you. And what is mental consciousness? Just an image, understand? You interpret it through your thought. How real can it be? But when you look at the external world, wow, everything so solid, that's why you are deluded. You grasp onto your own form and mind. How can this not be me, you say? I can feel, I can think, I can do what I like, I can have emotion and feeling. But you never go in to understand who is that guy who do all this. Without thought, without mind, without consciousness, you are nothing. So ultimately, it is just consciousness. Then when you zero in, all this external form is not what I think. I come to know through perception. I come to know through my thought and my consciousness. That's why the Buddha said it's not real. Condition arising, cause of phenomena. You created it through thought. Then you grasp onto it. You give it so much of label and name. You call this one the table, this one the body. The table doesn't know that you call him a table. The body doesn't know you call him a body. You create. That's why after you create, you try to solve the problem you create. You try to go beyond what you create. But the moment you create, when you have delusion, you grasp onto it, you think it's yours. Like the table, you pay money, buy, you say it's mine. When it's lost, affects you. Understand? This body also same. You create through your thought, through your perception and consciousness. Then you grasp. When it gets sick, get old, about to die, you worry. Because you deludedly grasp and cling. Through what? Through your consciousness. Through your wrong view. Through your thought. As I develop wisdom and wake up, do not be deluded anymore. And Heart Sutta can help you to develop that. Okay? That's how you must cultivate. Do not be heedless. Strive on with heedfulness. Okay, we finished part one. You got any question or not? So far, any question? You got any question you can ask? Anybody got any question? Do you all understand? If you can understand, then it's good. Because this is like a revision. For those who didn't attend, it's like a first round revision for you. But you must go back and listen to the tape. Otherwise, this is a summary of what I said. What I said is a lot more. So you go back, you listen to it again, then develop your own understanding. Okay, part two is more important. Xianhua said, be aware of the three types of karmic obstacle. And according to Master Xianhua, eradication is what the Heart Sutta is capable of doing. See, the Heart Sutta is very powerful. It can help you do away or eradicate these three obstacles that karma create for you. That is doing away with the three obstacles. The Mahayana got a very good way of classifying karma as compared to the Theravada. Pardon me for saying that. Because this approach, easy to understand, related to your life actually happening. Understand how? Whereas the Theravada one is more academic. You go back, you check, you will know. They got the various style karma. Okay. They classify into three types. Retribution obstacle means retributive karmic obstacle. Then you have activity karmic obstacle. Then you have the affliction karmic obstacle. The first one is retribution obstacle. They classify into two. There are two types. This is easy to understand. First type is primary retribution. Implies karmically conditioned physical body. Like the type of DNA coding that you are having. The physical appearances that you are having when you are born. Whether you are handsome or not so handsome. Pretty or not so pretty. This is primary retribution. Then the other one is dependent retribution. This one is more interesting. It implies karmically conditioned living condition. Means where you are born into, what type of family, what type of circumstances, rich or poor, or your materialistic inheritance through karma. That is, you are born poor or you are born rich. Or whatever environment that you are born into, conducive for your life or not. Where you are born into, you have no choice. This one you know, because karma decides, not you. But it is dependent retribution. Sorry, because it is dependent retribution. So you cannot change the aspect of karma, understand? Means you are born into this family, already decided by karma. Just like last week we discussed, you remember the example of Bill Gates? Before he became famous and wealthy, there was a girl he liked. But this girl doesn't know that he is going to become so wealthy and so rich. So this girl liked another guy, doesn't really take any interest in him. So later on, after she got married with another guy, then the kid grew up, Bill Gates become very rich and very wealthy. Then this lady told the son, I could have been his wife, see, if I have chosen him. So that if is not a reality, understand? So the karma is, if it's not your karma to be his wife, he will not be your wife, understand? Because this is dependent retribution. So all the if is not a reality. That's why Belinda become the wife, understand? So now you have Belinda, and Bill Gates Foundation. So this is all part of what they call dependent retribution karma, because it is dependent retribution. But you must understand, there is one thing you can decide: who you marry to. You do have a choice. Understand? That is before you decide. Understand? Once you decide, I do, that choice is been taken up. So next time, next life when you come, make sure you don't simply I do so fast. And those who are not married, meant to be, you don't have such problem, don't worry. Okay, we go on. Then activity karma or activity obstacle. This one is very powerful, you have to understand. That's why a lot of living beings, they cannot understand. They say, how come this life when I am born, so many things obstruct me and disturb me? Like my life is not smooth, understand? Anything they do, they get into problem. This is what the activity obstacle is. Activity obstacle implies karmically conditioned livelihood obstacle. Means your career, your livelihood, and what you do. Like you got a lot of karmic obstruction while working and living your life. So this one you cannot blame anybody, because your karmic inheritance is such you have a lot of karmic negativity. And all this karmic negativity becomes an obstruction to you. That's why when you have karmic obstacle, very difficult for you to live the happy life. Because even if you're supposed to meet somebody who can help you, bring you to somebody who understands and meditate, but because of your karmic negativity in the previous life, you never do all this wholesome karma. There is no fruition, no resultant for it. So what happens is, let's say you do something negative, instead of taking people to see the right people to develop the right meditation, through wrong view, you bring people to see the wrong teacher or the wrong instructor, then you got him into trouble. Understand? This become your karma. You will inherit that karmic obstacle. So when you come this life, you're supposed to cultivate, you're supposed to develop the meditation. Somehow somebody will come and lead you away to see somebody else who will teach you the wrong thing. That is what karmic obstacle is all about. Because this afternoon we got a very short discussion on this meditation thing. Somebody was very cute. He was very concerned. He said, "Brother Teo, we should also actually take this point down." He said, "There are certain people who come and learn, develop some skill or understanding. They want to teach, and they may not teach the correct Dhamma." So I told him not to worry. You don't have this negative karma, you won't follow such a teacher. But let's say in your previous life, you have actually this type of karma, lead people to learn from the wrong people or the wrong place. Then, no matter how much we may try to prevent this, if your karma is like that, you still go that way. That's how your thing is just the way they are. Then when I explain this, the monk, there is one monk there, he very cute, he laughs. He laughs. That's why karma, you don't play a fool. You don't play a fool. So this activity obstacle is very powerful. So do not be heedless. Do not do the wrong thing. That's why whatever goodness and wholesomeness you do, that is your inheritance. Understand not? If you are kind to your children, responsible, caring, loving, your in-law, your parent, your wife, your spouse, this become your karmic inheritance. Understand not? So in future you have husband, parent, in-law who will be nice to you, take care of you. Understand not? So there is no more karmic obstacle. Like your life become very smooth. Wow, why am I so lucky? Everything go my way. my in-law are so good. My mother-in-law treat me so well. We got one Dharma friend. The mother-in-law treat her very well. So all this, you will come to understand because it's your karmic inheritance. So if you got this karmic activity obstacle, it is because in the past you have done karmic negativity to people before. Understand? Let's say in the office, career life, what you do? Let's say you got jealous of your colleague, or you envy. You actually don't want him or her to get promoted. So you go and create something. You go and influence your boss. Then somebody else get promoted. Okay? That is your karmic negativity. Understand that? Then this life or certain life you come, when there is condition, similar thing will arise. You become the staff. You become the one that is supposed to be promoted. But when there is condition, there is somebody who has the same karmic negativity, they will do the same thing to you. They will influence the boss not to promote you and promote somebody else. That's how your life become like, how come I like that? Every time I'm due for promotion, something happened. Because last time you did this to people. Understand now? But if you have actually been very responsible and promote those who are supposed to get promoted, this life you come, you don't worry. Your karma will take care of all those things and you will have very smooth promotion. Everything go your way. That's why do not have any karmic negativity. Now you understand why the Buddha said, Sabba papasa akaranang. All evil you must avoid. Don't play a fool with karma. Karma is very powerful. Okay, we move on. The third one is affliction, karmic obstacle. This one, this implies this life when you arise. So, affliction obstacle implies karmically conditioned affliction caused by your heedlessness in life. Means this life you are heedless. That is, whenever your action, speech, and thought. That is, whenever you act, speak, and think with an evil mind that has the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then affliction or suffering will follow you, like the wheel that follows the hood. Then Dhammapada verse 1 will take its course. This one you're very familiar. If you want to be happy, then be heedful to train the mind to act, speak, and think without the three evil roots. Then happiness will follow you, like the shadow that never leaves you. Dhammapada verse 2 will then take its course. So if you want to be happy, you better train your mind to be heedful. Then follow Dhammapada verse 2. Do not be heedless. Otherwise, Dhammapada verse 1 will condition your suffering. Then I put this just to make it very clear. So I hope after this, Miss Lee, don't put any more short note for me to write again. Because I have repeated this many times already. It's enough. You all should understand already. For this part, don't blame anybody for your affliction, for according to the Buddha, we are born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma. So do strive on with heedfulness to take care of your karma so that your life is taken care of. Do not be heedless. Have goodness and kindness, for you reap what you sow. What you do to others, karmically it will come back to you. So if you are good and kind to others, to people, karmically others will be good and kind to you. Because these are your karmic inheritance. The absence of evil is good, so don't try to be good. But instead just train your mind to be heedful and mindful, so that it is incapable of evil. Then naturally you will be good. Those who have cultivated the Noble Eightfold Path have got no evil, but only wisdom and virtue. So this is a very important understanding. This last paragraph of part 2, you better go back and read and read and read again. You better put it on your notice board. Otherwise, you will make a lot of mistakes. Once you understand this, you change. You become a different living being. You will definitely change. You will change your life. Okay, part three. Hey, finish already, so fast. Okay, we continue from here. Eh? We go to the Heart Sutta now. Eh? Page 11. Eh? Okay, page 11. Okay. Oh, I thought we are at page 12. Eh? 12 is it? Eh? 11 we finish. Eh? Yeah, page 12. Because I fall at page 12. Otherwise, I cannot remember. Okay, maybe it's good to read the last paragraph of page 11 for the benefit of those who were not here. Why are you still afflicted right now? Master Swana asked. Can you answer me? Why are you still afflicted right now? Anybody want to answer? Oh, sorry, Suyan. Okay, we continue. Now is continuation from Heart Sutta. Luckily, Engbi reminded him. Sadhu. Okay, now we come back to page 11, last paragraph. Why are you still afflicted right now? What did Xuan Hua said? Because you have what? What is the word down there? Deviant views. This one is a Mahayana term. You know what is deviant? Not only wrong. You know what is a devious person? Very negative. So he said, because of your deviant view, not only wrong view, no. You are very vicious. deviant. And see situation incorrectly. Means you don't have wisdom. That's why you are still afflicted. Everything that happened in life, you react, you get angry, you become unhappy. What are all this? Evil root. Understand not? Anger is evil root. Unhappiness is evil root. Fear, worry, anxiety are all evil root because of delusion. Then you become selfish. You want things your way. Envy, jealousy, all this. Then you become possessive. All this is because of your wrong view, understand? Your deviant view. That's why when you don't have wisdom, you do all the stupid things. They call it stupidity. So deviant view and see things incorrectly. If no matter what is happening, you have proper wisdom, proper views, and genuine understanding, you will see very, very clearly. See, Xuan Hua confirmed. And will understand completely. When clarity and understanding appear in the midst of circumstances, then there is no affliction, understand, no suffering. It is the deviant views of greed, hatred, and delusion. What are these? Your evil root, understand? Your arrogance and your doubt that produce the affliction obstacle. So without evil root, affliction obstacle does not arise. So now you understand, Okay? So if you want to take care of your life, you make sure you avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind as per the advice of the Buddha. Then all the three obstacles will not affect you. Retribution obstacle, activity obstacle, and affliction obstacle. They'll be erased, eradicated, wiped off. So if you want your life to be very, very smooth, full of happiness and joy, if you want to be born into a good family with handsome or beautiful facial expression, with all the good condition, you better take care of karma. Pay more respect. When you pay respect to the worthy one, the elders, what happened? Four things grow, understand? What are they? This is what you need. Ayuk wana sukang palang. What is ayuk? Long life. You don't want to die young, is it? What is wana? Fair complexion, beauty or handsomeness. Proper proportion of face, body, everything. Like that day we talk about that famous actor, Huang Li Hong. Everybody crazy about him, especially ladies. Because it seems he's very proportionate. He is very handsome, I don't know. I heard from my wife. Then when I saw on the TV, oh, not bad this guy. Oh, he has everything, like blessed. Then, ayu wana sukang is what? Happiness. Is this what you want? Pay respect more. Sukang. Palang is what? Both spiritual and physical strength. You need to have strength in whatever you do. When you have strength in whatever you do, mentally, mental strength, physical strength, spiritual strength, you will succeed. You become very, very good at it. Okay. So now you know what to do. Okay, we go on. Xianhua said, the Heart Sutta can remove the three obstacles. The retribution obstacle, the activity obstacle, and the affliction obstacle. The question is, how? It contains the genuine wonderful wisdom, which is the unmoving mind. What is the unmoving mind? Unmoving mind of true sasana. What is that mind? You just, samadhi, you just study the seven factor of enlightenment. Samadhi and upeka, the last two factor of enlightenment. When you have that, your mind become unmoving. Unmoving mind of true suchness. And so it removes and destroys the three obstacles. You understand, When you have samadhi and upeka, what happened? Nothing disturb you, correct? That's why you're always at peace. There is no obstacle at all, understand? When you have that wisdom, every life you come, you become beautiful. That's why life becomes wonderful existence. Understanding true emptiness, 真空, 妙有. Understanding true emptiness will lead you to have the wisdom to live life. That's why life becomes wonderful. Wonderful existence. Okay, we go on. Wonderful wisdom. If you understand the heart of Prajnaparamita Sutta, then we can have the genuine wisdom. And with genuine wisdom, we can remove and destroy the three obstacles. So easy, isn't it? Easy or not? Better cultivate the Heart Sutta. When you have this Prajnaparamita wisdom, perfectional wisdom, life becomes wonderful. I can testify to you, very true, can happen. That's why you must determine strongly to cultivate. Do not be heedless. Do not waste your precious human life, especially this life. When the Buddha Dharma is here, when the Sasana is still around, do not be heedless. Do not waste this window, this opportunity, this segmented life of yours, to have another window of this, what they call opportunity. It will be very, very difficult, I tell you. Very, very difficult. And I don't know whether you are lucky enough to land yourself with another one of this opportunity if you miss this one. Never be heedless. Make haste in whatever you have to do. Look at your life clearly, what you want. Do you want to sacrifice just for the next few years so that you are guaranteed your eternal life? So that every life you come, you become so beautiful, so wonderful. It's worth it, isn't it? Just this life. Sacrifice. If you are lucky, 7 days. Satipatthana said, 7 days. You cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness. 7 days you will become enlightened. But the longest is what? 7 years. Not too long is that. Before 2020 is that. Still within 2019. Eh? But then Malaysia may be bankrupt, they say. So by then it doesn't affect you anymore. Whether bankrupt or not bankrupt, you are peaceful, you are happy. So that is the beauty of the Buddha Dharma. Eh? Okay? We go on. Eh? Determination of the characteristics of the teaching. The fifth recondite meaning is described by the seven line of the verse. The battle division is determined to be the meaning of this teaching. The Prajnaparamita Sutta belongs to the battle division. Battle represents the fourth or prajna period of the five period of the Buddha's teaching. So a maha turning around. This is the prajna boat. Maha is the Sanskrit word for great, like Mahayana, they call it the great vehicle. To turn the prajna boat around doesn't mean it turn it over. If you turn it over, there isn't any prajna. You should turn your stupidity around. Understand? Huh? Means wipe off your delusion. And that will be the prajna boat. That is prajna, wisdom. It can be compared to moving a boat upstream. It is necessary to use a little bit of effort. And it is not something that can be done easily. Although you don't need to take the three great asaṅkhayakappas. You know who took the three great asaṅkhayakappas? Sakyamuni. He actually take 3 3/4. And he is the fastest already because he used the wisdom way. There are some who take the what they call virya way, energy, the determination, the spiritual zeal. That one take 8 asaṅkhayakappas, almost twice. The last one is the one that use faith, like the Pure Land, Sada, 12 asaṅkhayakappas, 12 world cycle. So wisdom way is still relatively much faster. Asaṅkhayakappas means the 3 incalculable long ages, means aeons. You must pass through at least 1 or 2 or perhaps 3 lifetimes before you can attain genuine wisdom. This one he's talking about those who are very serious, dead serious. Understand now? No need to do 3 world cycles, only 2 3 lives. But you have to be extremely serious. That's why he said you must pass through at least, he never say you can do it, at least 1 or 2 or perhaps 3 lifetimes before you can attain genuine wisdom. Oh, you say, even though it doesn't require kappas, it is still a really long time, so I'm not going to cultivate. See, a lot of people, they use their thought. If you don't want to cultivate, it is not necessary. Certainly, no one will force you. Forcing is not the way of the Dhamma. Where my own disciples are concerned, I allow anyone who wants to fall according to his own delusion or inclination. If you don't want to turn the prajna boat around, then you can follow the great flow. Flow along with the current and go downstream. Go further and further down. If you turn around, you move upstream. And if you don't turn around, you flow downstream. Take a look. Are you going upstream or downstream? You know where the downstream lead to? Yeah? The ocean. What is the ocean? Ocean of samsara. that is where you will land. The ocean of samsara is so wide. You suffer a lot. The sea of samsara, the suffering world. You all heard of the song? Oh, suffering world. You land yourself down there. So if that's your choice, you go. So we finish. I have to read the notes to you. the notes there say the butter division refer to the milk product. Page 12 at the bottom. The butter division refers to the milk product analogy of the period of the Buddha's teaching. The analogy is found in the Mahaparinibbana Sutta. You know what is this sutta? Yeah? Before the Buddha's Parinibbana. In Mahayana, what do they call this? You don't know? Nipan Jing. Mahaparinibbana. Nipan Jing. Before he passed away. And was used by the Tiantai school in conjunction with the five periods of the Buddha's teaching. In the analogy, the original Dhamma nourishment is taken to be fresh milk. In each successive period, it became richer and more purified. Yet it is all the same basic substance. You know what is this? The essential teaching is the same, understand? No? Four noble truth, nothing else. The source nourishment. Butter represents the prajna teaching of the fourth period to which the Heart Sutta belongs. The five periods of the Buddha's teaching and the milk product analogy are this. Avatamsaka. He teaches for 21 days, the whole milk. This is the first period. Then you got the Agama or the Madhava. For 12 years he teaches. Coagulated milk. Then you got the Vaipuya, 8 years. He called it a cult. Nivanita. Then the fourth period is Prajna Paramita. He teach for 22 years. This is the Butter Division. Then the last one is Sadamapu Daraka Mahaparinibbana, the Nipanjing, for 8 years. Clarify butter become ghee, the final product. Understand? So this is how the Buddha teach. But if you look and add all this up, the number doesn't add. You know why? Because Mahayana, I don't know, their record is different. Theravada said the Buddha passed away at the age of 80. Right? He became enlightened at the age of 35. Right? So he teach for 45 years. Right? You add all this number, how many years? No. The first one is 21 days. Don't get that one wrong. They have 50. Understand? Oh, no, sorry. 50, yes. 30, 42, 50. 50 years. Their record is 50 years. I don't know why. They got extra 5 years. Maybe after the Parinibbana, the Buddha nature still teach. But don't worry, don't go and argue with people. Not important. 45 years, 50 years, not important. Yes. Can you explain why 49 years? Because the Mahayana's record is different. But don't worry, Just let it be. What you want is the teaching, isn't it? Not how many years he teaches. Why you want to argue over how many years he teaches? The handful of leaf, remember? That is conducive for enlightenment. Brings back to focus. Don't go and argue outside the handful of leaf. Understand? No? The handful of leaf is the Four Noble Truths. This is the one essential for enlightenment. The rest are not essential, understand not? That's why I focus on the handful of leaves. The rest will be understood. Okay? Okay. Do you want to take a break? Oh, exactly, 4:10. I exceeded. Oh no. I'm supposed to end at 4:30, This time did I got it right? You better tell me. I still got time in there. Okay, we continue. We continue. Oh, you got any question or not? We can still continue, 20 minutes. You got any question or not? Yes, maybe, yes. Use the mic. Use the mic. Help in the recording.
Radio, just yes. Want to ask, how come in the Satipatthana Sutta, Buddha clear stated it very clearly within 7 years to 7 days.
Yes.
One who had calculated
minimum anagami.
Why he stated so specifically 7 years or 7 days?
Because if you seriously cultivate, 7 years is too long. Understand or not? That's why he guarantee you maximum 7 years. Means take into account those very, very, I use the word, pardon me, very, very dumb one, slow in learning one, maximum 7 years. If you take 7 years, means you really have a lot of problem. You remember one monk? Can't even remember a stanza. After one word, he forgot the next word. That one also become arahan. You know how he become arahan? The Buddha said, don't meditate. He give him a piece of cloth. You know what he do? He said, go and clean it up. You know what happened? The more he clean, the more dirty that cloth is. Understand? No? Then he suddenly wake up. My mind also like that. Because he tried so hard. Understand? He tried to remember and understand the stanza. But that cloth originally given to him was already clean. Understand? No? Then he realized, I don't have to do anything. All this cleaning is the thought. Understand? Through delusion. He became arahant. You can become arahant. Go back, buy one white cloth, look at it, go and clean. No, because this monk is like that. So the Buddha can know. So he teach him using this skillful means to clean. Because he know he was trapped in that. And he know this monk was very earnest, very serious, very determined, very committed. But he just cannot do it because his memory is lousy. His karmic activity obstacle is he cannot remember anything. Understand not? Because he is born with this type of IQ. Understand not? That's why you got retribution, primary and dependent. So what you are born into, that is what you are already. Understand not? Then when you come out and go through your life, become a monk, you got this activity obstacle. Understand not? That's why you cannot progress even as a monk. But you meet the Buddha, he can teach you, understand? So that's why 7 years actually to me, like what the Buddha said, is too long, understand? You know how long Moggallana become arahant after he became a Sotapan? 1 week. Sariputta, 2 weeks, understand? There was one boy, if I'm not wrong. Sariputta's brother, 7 years old. I think he's 7 days only he become arahant. If I'm not wrong, you go back and check the sutta. It can be done. Understand? No? It's not so difficult. Okay.
That was during the Buddha's time. What about now during?
Now also can very fast. Now in fact the energy is better, the condition is a lot better. Now not only one Buddha. Understand? No? There are a lot of great beings around. Actually, for you to develop a better understanding, the Buddha never disappeared. The Buddha nature is everywhere. I got one teacher who told me this, and I fully understand why she said that. It's a lady. She said, "Do you know?" He said, "You." The nature of the Buddha. They are ever radiating for the cultivators of the way. Understand? That's why you must have sincerity. You must have faith. You must connect. And they will be there for you. Ever radiating for the cultivator of the way. The Buddha nature is everywhere. Then she talked about one life when she was cultivating in the Chana ground. Yeah. That one is from her personally. He said that time they were in this Chana ground, a lot of dead body. And you know what happened? The meditation developed until so stable. That time she was a monk, that life. He said the energy of Sakyamuni, the nature, just came because of the affinity, went in, and it was so strong, so wonderful. Then suddenly she awakened, she transformed. Then she realized after that there was never a Chana ground. Understand? It's all in your mind. Understand? When the mind awakened, there was nothing. Like Hui Ning said, originally there was nothing. Where can the dust align? Make sure it's off, otherwise the battery will go off, drain. It's turn off. So now you understand. Don't have to wait till the real Buddha is here. When you know how to make the aspiration, the vow, the sincerity, you will connect. Because Buddha nature is everywhere. Everywhere. That's why a lot of people thought, I must be in a temple, meditation center, only I can meditate. I must have the Buddha around, then only I can become enlightened. When you don't have the understanding, you tend to have this thinking, the thought. Then they always say, Buddha around also I cannot enlighten. Now, almost impossible. It's not like that. Because when the Buddha is around, you're not serious, understand? But when the Buddha not around, you regret, then now you dead serious. Can. Why cannot? Understand? Because it is your understanding, your sincerity. Your sincerity will actually pave the way for you. If you don't have sincerity, very difficult. You know why sincerity is so important? Sincerity means you are very sincere, no negativity. You are very clear about what you want. That's why the first clear comprehension, sati sampajana, is what? Clear comprehension of sincerity of purpose. Understand? When you are sincere means no delusion, no selfishness, no ego, nothing. No wrong view, no deviant view. That's why the Buddha Dharma will come to you. Because when you are sincere, the sincere mind will take you along. You will not have any negativity. So sincerity is number one. When you are sincere, you will develop the faith, then the virya, then the cultivation, the sati, samadhi, and the panya. All this is how the spiritual faculty gets developed. And this spiritual faculty is very important. Like last week, we talked about it. The 37 factors of enlightenment, these 5 spiritual faculty appear twice, 2 times, 10 out of 37. That's why it's almost 1/3 of it. So you see the importance of these 5 spiritual faculty. You must cultivate. Without the spiritual faculty, you cannot progress. Without the spiritual faculty, you cannot understand the Buddha Dharma. And without the spiritual faculty, there is no sati. No sati, no meditation, no life, no heedfulness. Everything collapses. So sati, the 5 spiritual faculty, very important. Okay? Okay, we continue. We got 10 more minutes. Okay, the 5 periods of the Buddha's teaching. This one explained to you what the notes mention. We can go through a bit fast because this one is mainly for understanding only, for knowledge, more for knowledge. It's their way of breaking it down, peculiar to Mahayana, but no need to remember. Understand or not? When you actually understand, it's the Dhamma. Any period also no problem. As long as the truth is the Dhamma, it will go in. Okay, the 5 periods of the Buddha's teaching. The Dhamma spoken by the Buddha was divided into 5 periods and 8 teachings by the great master Zi Yi, the wise one. This was during the time AD 538 to 598. The 5 periods will be categorized by means of 2 kinds of wisdom, expedient and actual. So the 2 types of wisdom are expedient and actual. Avatamsaka period represent the world by the Avatamsaka Sutta, consists of Dhamma spoken by the Buddha during the first 21 days of his teaching. So this sutta is what? Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. Understand now? The first sermon. The period include one kind of expedient dharma and one kind of actual dharma, the gradual and the sudden. That is, the Avatamsaka Sutta teaches one kind of expedient wisdom and one kind of actual wisdom. The Avatamsaka Sutta explains the doctrine of Dhammarime, the Dhammarime of phenomena, the noumena Dhammarime, the Dhammarime in which phenomena are unobstructed, the Dhammarime in which noumena is unobstructed, and the Dhammarime in which both phenomena and noumena are unobstructed. Although this teaching was spoken for the sake of Bodhisattva, the Avatamsaka Sutta nevertheless contain one kind of expedient Dhamma along with the actual wisdom, that is, along with the real Buddha Dhamma. So this one is just to describe to you what this teaching is all about. It only lasts for 21 days. Then after that, in the second period, or what they term the Agama period, the Buddha spoke no actual Dhamma or actual wisdom, but instead spoke an expedient Dhamma. All that time, at that time, all sentient beings were like child. And since they did not understand the Buddha Dhamma, the Buddha used various expedient Dhammado, skillful means, understand not? Expedient means skillful means, to induce and guide them, to transform them, and to take them across. During the third period, the Vaipuya, the Buddha spoke three kinds of expedient Dhamma and one kind of actual Dhamma. At that time, the four teachings were explained together. The treasury means the Tipitaka, your three Tipitaka. You know what are they? The Vinaya, the Sutta, and the Abhidhamma. Understand not? You have to change this word. He said teaching of Hinayana. I understand that Theravada doesn't like this word. So you just ignore this word. You call it Theravada, teachings of the Theravada. The connecting teaching and the special teachings, which are the three expedient Dhamma, and the perfect teaching, which is the actual Dhamma, reveal the one-sided and upbow the spot. Here you just ignore, because for those who cannot understand, they thought it's Mahayana way of looking down upon Theravada. No, it's not. You must understand, it's not. Because when you understand the true Mahayana teaching, you start to understand why they had to explain it. But sometimes the word they use, the translator, not so tactful. It creates a lot of misunderstanding and ill feeling. So he said, small indicate that the one-sidedness of the small vehicle. He called it Hinayana, but forget this word, the Theravada is wrong. Praise the great and extol the perfect. Commands the perfect teaching of the great vehicle. Praise the great and extol the perfect. Commands the perfect teaching of the great vehicle, the Mahayana. So in the Vaipula period, the four teachings were explained together. Actually, there is no big, no small, no great. Because all these are differentiation, understand? Bias, fun piercing. But they need to communicate with you. So to communicate, they must use words, understand? So sometimes words and concepts are used. You have to forgive them. So don't take it so negatively. Try to understand the message, the Buddha Dhamma involved. Okay. The next one is the fourth period is the Prajna period. In it, there were two kinds of expedient Dhamma, the connecting and special teaching, and one kind of actual Dhamma, the perfect teaching. Then in the Lotus Nirvana period, or Parinibbana Sutta, which include the wonderful Dhamma. This one is very beautiful. Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing. wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta and the Mahaparinibbana Sutta, there are no expedient Dhamma anymore. There are only actual Dhamma and actual wisdom. This is the last period, the most powerful. So to summarize the five periods, in the Lotus Nirvana period, only actual Dhamma appear. There is no expedient Dhamma. In the Prajna period, two expedient Dhamma and one actual Dhamma appear. In the Vaipuya period, the three expedient and one actual Dhamma appear. In the Agama period, there is only expedient and no actual Dhamma. And in the Avatamsaka period, there is one expedient and one actual, the gradual and the sudden. The above explained nation employs the two types of wisdom, expedient and actual, to categorize the five periods. If the period were explained in detail, that would be too much. That would be much, much more to say. So in lecturing on this sutta, I explain a little more each time. I tell you a little more of what you haven't heard. Listen a lot, and you will understand a lot. So this is how Xuanhua explained. Okay, we stop here. You can take a break. Then after that, maybe we come back in about 5 minutes time. I need to go to the washroom too, So you all can do your own respect to the Buddha, Then after that, we will start, You just pay respect mindfully, Okay, this second session is on meditation, So we will develop the understanding, Because the notes, part 3, meditation, I purposely left it out this time, so that I will continue under the second session. You go back to your short note, part 3, meditation. Email number 4, the 3 turnings and the 12 modes of the 4 noble truths. So the three types of prajna or wisdom as explained by Master Xuanhua are similar to the three types of wisdom born of the three turning of the Four Noble Truths, as explained by the Buddha under his Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta or his first sermon. And they are the first turning wisdom. They correspond to the proclamation of truth as spoken by the Buddha, leading to Suttamaya Panya, means wisdom born of hearing the sutta or discourse of the Buddha. So this discourse of the Buddha may be spoken by the Buddha during the time of the Buddha, or now you may listen from others. Okay? Then because our civilization has transformed, the first turning can include reading, or listening to video, to all the what they call recording, cassette or whatever, or MP3, and even nowadays the computer, you got your thumb drive and all those things. So first turning wisdom is hearing. Hearing the proclamation can be from any source. Then you can include reading. Okay. Then there is this second turning wisdom. The Buddha said, after you have heard, you must reflect, contemplate, and inquire into the truth as proclaimed by the Buddha, leading to another type of wisdom called Chintamaya Panya, wisdom born of contemplation, constant contemplation, and inquiry, and reflection on the truth as proclaimed by the Buddha. The reason why you need to reflect and contemplate is, you need to understand it more deeply, understand not? So when you reflect and contemplate, you like stabilize your understanding. You put them in order, understand not? It's like a zigzag puzzle all over. So when you reflect and contemplate, you know how to put them together, understand not? Or after somebody has explained to you, you see how the Dhamma are connected, and you can actually put them in order. So when you reflect, contemplate, and inquire, the understanding will come. suddenly you realize, hey, the Dhamma is so beautiful. Actually, it is all the while there. I only fail to understand it. So the moment you understand, it's like all those that you have heard, they have started to stabilize, understand not? And you are able to assimilate them into your understanding. That's how the second turning wisdom, Chintamaya Panya, come to be. Then when the first and second turning wisdom is there, it will prepare the base for you to receive truth. Then any time you can become enlightened, either through the first turning, second turning, or third turning. But the third turning is still the most profound, the one that is very, very effective. Because the third turning is meditative. So this third turning, this is the meditative training leading to Bhavana Maya Panya. Bhavana is the meditation or the meditative training as taught by the Buddha. That's why you heard of this word, Metta Bhavana. Means what? Develop the meditation on Metta, loving kindness. Vipassana Bhavana. Develop the insight wisdom, the Vipassana insight wisdom on meditation. Then you got Samatha Bhavana. Train your mind to develop the concentration, the Samatha concentration. There are various types of meditation that the Buddha share. They call it under what they call Nupassana. You know what is Nupassana? You see, you have Kaya Nupassana, Vedana Nupassana. Then you have what they call Chitta Nupassana. Then you have Dhamma Nupassana. Okay? Then you also heard of Anusati, right? Buddha Anusati. You know what is Anusati? Contemplate on the virtues of the great Buddha. Understand? Buddha Anusati, contemplation. Then you have Marana Nusati. Understand? Marana is contemplation on death. Anusati is contemplation. Understand? So, Marana Nusati, Anusati, understand? So, Pasana is to insight into. Nusati is contemplative wisdom. That's why you contemplate on food. You contemplate on the various Dhamma that the Buddha teach you. The nine great virtues of the Buddha. So, all these are Anusati. Like, contemplation on death. Marana Nusati. Then you got all the other various type of contemplation. So when you understand, the Pali words stand out. Then it become clear. But to develop the profound wisdom, the very what they call penetrative wisdom that will immediately awaken you, make you enlightened, you need the third turning. But when you already have your first and second turning wisdom, sometimes you don't need the third turning. Like Xu Yun, you remember? Shenhua's teacher? You know how he became enlightened? We went through? The attendant who poured the tea, the hot tea, somehow callous spilled over to his finger. He got burned, understand? Then he let go of the cup. What happened? At that moment when he was burned, there was no mind, understand not? Because he just freed his hand. Then that cup dropped. That instant it cracked, that sound, trigger of enlightenment. See? You don't have to do anything. You don't have to meditate. You just have to silence your mind. No attachment, no craving. Don't try to become anything. Don't even apply any effort. You just silent. In the natural state of stillness. All of a sudden, that sound trigger of enlightenment. Then you know what happened. After that, Xu Yun wrote that poem we went through last time. He said, "The mind is so wonderful." He said, "At the sound of the crack, the moment he perceived that sound, the pure perception is it space pulverized." You know what is space power? like there is no space. No space means what? No thought, no consciousness, nothing. The mind become empty. Cessation, zok, he went in. They say after that, everything becomes so clear. He became enlightened. He didn't do any bhavana. Hearing, but not the sutta, not the dhamma. Just one crack sound. And they said, that's why enlightenment can happen in whatever way and form. If you understand, it can happen anywhere, any place, any time. But it's not like automatic, understand? You have to prepare. You have to have the condition behind. That's why all this does not come by itself. There are causes and conditions behind. Okay? So we finish off with the notes. Okay. Anybody who is new today? Everybody here before? Okay. Then we can start the meditation straight away. You can develop your training of the mind if your mind is still not trained. Then after that, we meditate for maybe half an hour. You silence your mind. For those who already know how to meditate, you silence your mind. Develop the silent mind. You can anchor it anywhere. Initially, you need to anchor it at your heart. You anchor it there. Otherwise, you can use the object of meditation. Then if you have stabilized it already, you just silent. The mind don't need any dwelling. It can just remain silent. Then it can understand a lot of things. Use that mind, the silent mind, to understand what is going on, to develop the wisdom, the insight into the truth and the reality. So for those who have yet to train their mind, you can use any skillful means that you are familiar with. You just have to center the mind, anchor it to the object of meditation, develop the mindfulness of it. It can be breathing, anapanasati, or chanting, or anything. As long as the mind is trained, it will remain centered, aware, without thought. Then it will anchor itself to the object of meditation. The moment it wanders off, patiently relax and bring it back. Do not get yourself involved. Do not get yourself angry or upset. So do not stir your mind. When you realize there's a distraction, means the mind has been distracted. You just release it, like the 6 hour. Release whatever is distracting you. Then you can relax, relax your body and mind. Then after that, you radiate a radiant smile. It is same as the mind sweeping method combined with metta. It's the same. When you use the mind sweeping method, you relax every part, understand? You train your mind to be aware at the place you want it to be. Then you relax, relax, relax. That's how you relax. Then after that, you do metta. That's how you like re-smile, understand? So it's a modified way. So when you can do that, when you are relaxed and a lot of loving kindness and metta, your heart become very, very calm, full of faith. Then the sadha and virya will develop. Then when there is sadha virya, you silence your mind, sati will come. You can train yourself in anapanasati or whatever. It's up to you. Okay? So now I leave it to you. You develop your meditation. I will ring the bell half an hour's time. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever calmness, whatever inner awareness that you have developed. Maintain them for as long as you can. We will continue with the second session. Second session, I think today you can do some reporting if you want. You can report about your meditation, and at the same time you can ask me any question if you have with regards to the meditation, the Buddha Dharma, the teaching, and how you can apply what you have learned here together with the Buddha Dharma to help you to understand life and to help you to overcome all of your life situation and problem. Okay. So, anybody wants to report their meditation? Okay. Since there is nobody, I forgot where did I stop the notes. Where did we stop? Did we finish the email number 5? Oh, now I remember. Okay. We stop at page 8. You turn to this. The photostat notes. Understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Turn to page 8. I think we stop at the second turning. So we can continue from there. Okay. So under the second turning, we need to inquire. You can either inquire or inquire. Why did the Buddha say all this? Like what we went through last week. Why did the Buddha say that this noble truth or dukkha is to be understood? And how we can develop the understanding? To do that, we need heedfulness or appamada, to constantly reflect and contemplate on this noble truth as proclaimed by the Buddha. Through this constant inquiry and contemplation plus reflection on the noble truth, a second type of wisdom called Chintamaya Panya can arise. That is, after hearing the noble truth, we need to slowly develop the clearer and more refined type of understanding via this constant contemplation and reflection on this truth. Only then can we stabilize our understanding to develop the Chintamaya Panya. Then I said, please note that when it comes to the second turning of the Four Noble Truths, the emphasis is on cultivation for the Noble Eightfold Path, like what we have gone through, instead of just understanding it only as in the case of the second turning of the First Noble Truth. Similarly, the emphasis on the second turning of the Second Noble Truth is on this cause of suffering, which is craving, is to be abandoned. So it's on abandoning of the cause of dukkha, which is craving. And that for the second turning of the Third Noble Truth, the emphasis on the cessation of dukkha is to be realized. You have to realize it. So, second turning a bit peculiar. Each noble truth, the emphasis is different. This is to stimulate you to develop the inquiry, the reflection, and the contemplation on truth. Like what we went through last week, you have to inquire deep into the teaching, the proclamation of truth that you have heard. You have to ask the first question, why did the Buddha say this? Like the second turning of the First Noble Truth. What did the Buddha say? Second telling of the first noble truth. Huh? What did the Buddha say? this noble truth or dukkha, the first noble truth, is to be understood. You inquire deep. Why did the Buddha say this? Did you all inquire? Huh? Anybody go back and inquire? So what is your answer? Huh? Why did the Buddha say this noble truth of suffering is to be understood? Huh? Why? You all have to understand by now because we already gone through last week. Yeah? If you can't even because you have to ask yourself this question. Why did the Buddha say this noble truth or dukkha is to be understood? Means what? The Buddha knew you haven't understood, correct or not? So why did he say you must understand? When you understand, what will happen to you? Yeah? Means you know what dukkha is, isn't it? And this is very important, isn't it? You just recite the first noble truth like a parrot. Yeah? Birth, old age, sickness, and death is suffering. Depart, to be separated from your loved one and all your prized possession is suffering. To be with people whom you don't like is suffering. When you cannot get what you want is suffering. In short, you can recite and mumble all those for the next 40 years. The wisdom never arises. Because you don't want to inquire. You don't want to understand why the Buddha say all this. Understand or not? That is the importance of the second turning. That's why when you investigate, means the Buddha say, don't believe in what I say. Ask questions. Inquire deep into it. Reflect and contemplate into the second turning. Why did the Buddha say this? So now you understand it, right? Huh? So that you really understand what dukkha is, isn't it? What the first noble truth is, isn't it? So when you understand, it's no more a knowledge, isn't it? It's no more a theory, isn't it? No more just telling people birth, old age, sickness, and death is suffering. People ask you to explain why. Don't know, the Buddha says so. That's what Buddhist problem is. Understand? You ask them to explain the first noble truth, the fourth noble truth. They cannot. But they can recite to you, understand? Because they memorize a lot of knowledge. So we already went through last week. We went into one by one, the whole of the birth process. How can the Buddha say it's suffering? We already understood, isn't it? Because we understand how the birth process come about, how it can really, really be a source of great suffering. The mother will understand better than those who have children, who has gone through that process, who have seen certain people having complications. They start to understand. Then like old age, sickness and death, the Buddha asks us to reflect and contemplate every day about this body. This body of ours is of the nature to grow old, to get sick and die. For it has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. So when we reflect and contemplate, we develop this wisdom and understanding. So this is very important. Understand? That's why when you inquire, oh, no wonder the Buddha asked me to reflect. If I don't reflect, what happened? When I confronted with old age, sickness and death, I only know how to complain, understand? Because I never reflect. This is the reality of form. The form will go the way of nature. It's not me, it's element only, understand? So all this understanding will come once you inquire, once you go into it. But if you don't want to inquire, you just believe what the Buddha say, you just believe what people tell you, you can never develop the wisdom. Understand not? So that is the reason why in meditation is the same. Don't ask for instruction. So what must I do, Brajo? You always ask that. That's why. Why? You don't want to reflect. You don't want to inquire. You don't want to investigate. You don't want to find out. That is where a lot of Buddhists fail. The second turning, wisdom cannot come. Even the first turning, you don't get it. You know why? You listen, you want to memorize. Understand? No? And that is the problem. Listen means what? Listen with attentiveness. What is attentiveness? Sati, understand? No? Mindfulness. When I listen attentively, like you listen in the class, means what? You are not distracted, is it? You are not tired, is it? You don't have the hindrance of mind, is it? When you have sleepiness in the class, you know how to listen. The sleepiness is so heavy. Whatever the teacher says, also you cannot go in. Understand? That's why when the hindrance of mind is there, you cannot. When the teacher is teaching and sharing the Dhamma or whatever subject, you think of going home to play. Oh, my friend waiting for me. So this sensual desire, this thinking, distract you. Understand not? That's why now you see the true application of the Buddha Dhamma. Why he say you must be aware of the five hindrances of mind? Where they hinders your mind from paying attention, understand not? From attaining this state of sati or mindfulness, to listen, to be attentive, to hear. That's why Krishnamurti is very good. He said, the art of listening. You must have that ability. You must listen attentively, with understanding, without thought. Do not react to what you listen. That's why he said, don't judge, don't comment, don't react, don't censor. Who is doing all those things? The thought, the egoic mind. Because you have been conditioned into doing that. Right and wrong, good and bad. Everything also you want to comment. Because you have your own preference, your discrimination, your views, your opinion, your conditioning. That's why just now we say, what is this form of mind? A bundle of memory together with its conditioning, views and opinion. That is what you are. And you operate from this. That's why acting according to memory, according to your conditioning, views and opinion, is not acting at all. You are only reacting, understand? You never develop the wisdom through understanding, through reflection and contemplation on what is the truth. That's why you cannot live life. You cannot understand life. You choose to believe because that is the easiest way out. Yeah. Human beings like to believe. Yeah? Tell me what to do, that's it. Don't have to explain. Very difficult, I cannot remember. Can buy or not. What must I do? Just tell me. That is where the problem lies. You never want to reflect, contemplate, and investigate and inquire. That's why the second turning wisdom cannot come about. So when you reflect and inquire, all this understanding will arise. So second turning is very powerful. Because like I told you last time, my second teacher, which is the Thai monk Ajahn Yantra, he very good. Every time when I was near him, no less than 6 times, he reminded me, he said, we choose contemplate until very, very clear the Buddha Dhamma. And that time I just know how to do that because I have been doing that. Then I realized the beauty of his advice. That time I don't even know about the three turning. I just follow his advice. Then because I have been doing that, so I find it so beautiful. Then I developed the understanding very fast. Then later on, 2004, when I wanted to come out and share, there was one day, I think Sister Yun Chan will know, she actually somehow through one of the spiritual trip, Dhamma trip, she was helping Vipassana Society to organize. That was the only trip he organized. And that time I was talking to my wife, I said, it's a long time we haven't actually gone back to the temple. So I want to find out what is happening to a lot of so-called Buddhists. How have they developed the progress of understanding the Dhamma? So that time I was curious. I saw the newsletter came. I told my wife, why not we just apply to join the trip and we find out what happened. So I just fill out the form, send it in. Then the reply came, full already. As usual, because we were not active member. I found out I was a live member. I also don't know how it happened. So anyway, there must be some reason. Then, because she doesn't know me, and long time I haven't been around, so she just reply and say, oh, full already. Oh, I say, it's okay. Maybe you put us on reserve. I say, if anybody choose to drop out or pull out, you put us in. Then, so funny, the condition happened. You know what happened? A few days before the trip, actually, that day they go off, there was two person who pull out. Then she remember talking to me, because myself one couple, he called me back. He said, yeah, Brother Teo, you remember? He said, you wanted to come, I put you on reserve. And now the condition is there, he said, two person pull out, so you all can join. So I say, good, so what must I do? Pay you the money or what? He said, don't worry, don't worry. He said, on that day you pay me, he said. But then, I need the detail and all those things. So he said, okay, I will get you the detail. So somehow, I don't know what happened. She lost my phone number. She got to actually come to my house in person. And that day, very funny, she came in, just passed me the thing, then we sat down, ate something, we talked. Somehow, the Dhamma flow. Then she ended up staying back until 11 something, almost 12 o'clock, until the husband called. Then she said, but I got to go already, my husband calling me. I said, okay, you go. Then she keep on telling me later on, I don't know why when I come here, I listen to you, I cannot go home with her. I want to stay on. We talked until almost midnight. Because later on she came three times, four times, every time like that. Then she finally told me this, is it? Brother Teo, since your Dhamma is so good, why not you come out and share, is it, auntie? I said, please don't. Because that time I knew a lot of misunderstanding. Because I am just a lay person, I cannot share. Because what I say has no authority, and I don't have anything. So what I scared was misunderstanding. So three times I rejected her. I said, no, no. Then finally on the third time, funny, that night after she went back inside, suddenly Mo tell me, hey, it's about time for you to come out. You have rested long enough. I say, you better come out. I say. Then I say, if I come out, there will be potential misunderstanding. So I don't want to create unnecessary condition for people. So I reflected. Then I contemplate, how can I resolve this? Oh, the answer came. He said, set three conditions, very simple. Then I give her a call. I said, can I? On condition, three things. Don't call it a talk. I said, talk is one-way traffic. Call it a Dhamma discussion. That's how it started. So first, call it Dhamma discussion. Then second is, no right, no wrong. Understand? Because it's a discussion. We just share our understanding. No right, no wrong. The third is, I respect you for what you are, you respect me for what you are, we just discuss. Whatever that benefit you, take and use. Whatever that I benefit from you, I take, I use. This is true Dhamma discussion, isn't it? No negativity. This is what Kayana Mitta Ship. Oh, I said, if you agree, we do it. Then she agree. So when we start, it was general topic. Then after a few sessions, they found it so interesting. Somebody put up their hand. Why don't we discuss Dhamma? But that time, 2004, you know what happened? Tsunami. They asked about tsunami. I explained to them the five panchaniyama, how it can happen. So they got so interested. They say, why not we go into the Dhamma? Then they asked me, Brother Teo, you want? I say, no problem. Then they asked me, what is the topic? You know what happened? I got no topic. So I look around on the wall of Vipassana. There was one poster. The Buddha with the five ascetic. Oh, I remember the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, first sermon. Oh, I say we do this. The Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the first sermon. Oh, they say agreed. So that time I asked Yinja, do you have any sutta or not? Because I never read the sutta. Then she think, she said, God, I give you one chanting book, the Thai one. So he just gave me the sutta. That's not the Pali and the English translation. Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. So I borrow it. He said, no need, give it to you. Huh? Okay, thank you. I took it back. Then I read. I saw the tree turning there. Huh? That was the first time I saw, no? Then I realized, no wonder the Buddha is so wise. He himself, the Buddha to be, must understand this Four Noble Truths in his tree turning and 12 mode. What more the living being? Understand not? So that's why I straight away understood what the Buddha said. I said, this is beautiful. This is what I have been doing. Contemplation, reflection, inquiry. That's why I knew the second turning straight away. And what you have here is not from the sutta. The sutta only got the word. This noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. Finish. Nobody can explain. Nobody can connect to the three type of wisdom. That's why when I read, I straight away knew. And I knew how beautiful this teaching was. Then I started to put it into words. I still remember the first time when I shared with them 204. Everybody looked at me. He said, Theravada don't have such teaching, three turning. They never heard before. Then luckily, this ancient path, the ancient path by Piyadasi, he got mentioned one sentence only. The three turning. But he didn't explain. Yeah, he cannot explain. He also don't understand. But he got mentioned. Then I say, it's in the sutta and it's also in this book. Otherwise, I'm just a lay person. Nobody can take me for any authority or believe me. Understand? Because I'm just a lay person and I haven't come out yet at that time. Nobody knew me. So what happened was, when I quote the text, oh, they got faith. Oh, they say, yes, the sutta got mentioned, that book, ancient path, got mentioned. Then I say, Mahayana got a lot. Some of the Theravada don't like. They don't like Mahayana. So they thought it's Mahayana teaching. I say, no, it's in the Theravada Sutta. And I say, no, the three turning of the Four Noble. You always hear this, San Chuan Falun, three turning of the Dhamma wheel. That is the three turning of the Four Noble Truths. The Dhamma wheel is Dhammacakkappavattana, understand not? The Dhamma wheel of birth and death. That's why the first sermon talked about this wheel of birth and death. Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. So this is how, when you have the wisdom and the understanding, you will know how to share. That's why now I want you to understand and reflect and contemplate and go and investigate into the Dhamma. Develop your own wisdom. Do not always believe, understand or not? Or commit to memory, store. No use, understand or not? It won't become wisdom. Knowledge is what? Knowledge is what? Memory, understand or not? They say, as dead as the dead live. You know what is memory? Of the past. Understand? Not the moment. Not the truth. Not the reality. That's why knowledge and truth are different things. Wisdom and knowledge are totally different. Wisdom is understanding, not rigid. Knowledge is very rigid. Understand? Because when you commit to knowledge, you argue. Understand? You say the Buddha never say this. It's just like when I say, let things be. You go and interpret me wrongly. You become very rigid. No, Brother Teo say, let things be. That's why I don't want to do anything. You put me into trouble, you yourself get into trouble. Because you are rigid. You take the word and interpret. Then you think you are right. Understand not? That's where the problem is. So people quote the Buddha. Hey, the Buddha never say this. The Buddha say this. Then they challenge you. How you answer? the Buddha is the highest authority in the Dhamma, and he used the Buddha and challenged you. So how can you discuss with such a person? Huh? What do you do? That's why I always tell them, yeah, the Buddha did say this, but the interpretation of what the Buddha said is not the Buddha's intention and meaning. What you believe, you interpret his teaching. He did say this, just like when I say, let things be, but you don't understand him. His meaning is different, very deep. That's why when you understand the true teaching, you are not rigid. Wisdom is understanding. Understanding, different place, different time, different person, everything is different. You cannot repeat the same formula. Oh, last time Buddha teach like that, you got this problem, you must do that. Wisdom doesn't work that way, understand? That's why for that monk who can't even compose, remember a verse, the Buddha teach him differently. One piece of white cloth. You cannot say, hey, the Buddha teach like that, no. Oh yeah, I got one brother very stupid. Give him one white cloth. You think it works? You go and try. No, because the condition behind is different. The Buddha has this, what they call special ability, abhinya, and his perfection allow him to understand all this. Yes, thank you so much, on the light, because I can't see. It's a bit too dark. So when you understand, you appreciate. You really appreciate what the Buddha has taught you. So again, this is the third time I remind you. Do not believe anything. Don't commit to memory. Reflect, contemplate, investigate into all the teaching. Even whatever I tell you, don't believe me. Investigate into it. Develop your own understanding. When you understand, very beautiful. Then that time, no more doubt. Your understanding will be the one that will free you. Not your knowledge, not your belief. Not the Dhamma that you think you have. It is wisdom, understanding, born of your own awakening, your own reflection and contemplation on truth. So this is a very important part. Okay. So far, any question or not, on the second turning before we move on to the third turning? Do you have any question? Do you know how to inquire now? Reflect, contemplate. Yeah? I have given you some example. Or you want to do it as an exercise? Yeah? We do it as an exercise. So now, we repeat. First noble truth. What did the Buddha say under the second turning of the first noble truth? What did the Buddha say? You read from the text. Yeah? The page before. The Buddha said what? Use the mic. Thank you. So that it helps.
The Buddha said, this noble truth of dukkha is to be understood.
So this is the second turning. The Buddha said this. How do you reflect and inquire? Your first inquiry is what? What is it?
There is this noble truth of dukkha.
Yeah, means you have to ask yourself, why did the Buddha say this, isn't it? Correct or not? That is your first question, isn't it? Otherwise, how can you understand? Why did the Buddha say this? Then I reflect, I contemplate. Means the Buddha think I don't understand the noble truth. Understand or not? The first noble truth of dukkha means I don't know. I still don't know what dukkha is. I may have heard. I may have committed to memory. I may have repeated it many times. Understand not? But because the Buddha knew this noble truth of dukkha is to be understood, means you must reflect and contemplate and understand the eight conditions behind. Then you will come to know these are the reality of life and existence. Every human being has to confront this noble truth. No one is exempted, regardless of your birth, your status, your wealth, even as a king, or very powerful minister or head of government, you still subject to this reality of life and existence, the eight condition of the first noble truth. So when you have this understanding, you ask yourself, no wonder the Buddha is so wise. Under the second turning, he make it so clear. This noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. I have yet to understand what this is. That's why I can reflect and contemplate. Means you go through what the Buddha say, understand now? Then you ask yourself, why did the Buddha say birth, old age, sickness and death is suffering? And then the answer will come, understand now? Because you have this creative mind. The mind that is silent, reflective and contemplative. You are full of faith, sadha and virya. You want to develop an understanding and you have the silent mind, sati. That's why you can understand. That when you reflect and contemplate like what we went through, what is the birth process? Is there really suffering? There is suffering because the ladies will know. The baby born, they cry, understand? When you carry your child for 9 to 10 months, which is quite typical, is it easy? There is a lot of suffering, isn't it? The morning sickness, you have to be very careful with your posture, your balancing. Then sometimes there is complication, understand? Bleeding or whatever. And sometimes, I was told a lot of mother, suddenly the baby doesn't kick, not active. Do you know what was the fear? They thought their baby died. Understand now? There is a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety and suffering. And they freak, understand now? The reason why I know is because I got one brother in Penang, the wife. Very difficult to conceive. To you all who are very lucky, very easy. You want to have baby? Just allow it to happen. But this one, she was working. So she finds it so difficult to conceive, understand? Then they say, you must take, whenever you know you have conceived, you must take a break from your work. Otherwise, the work pressure and all those things. So she took that one. Then you know what happened or not? After a while, it's stabilized. You got to go back and work in there. Well, then you're scared something will happen again because she lost, I don't know, one or two, I think. Because it doesn't go through the full, what they call pregnancy. Somehow, they have this miscarriage. The first one was quite abrupt. She also doesn't understand. Then the second one, very careful, I think, but still happened. Then the third one, she very careful. Then managed to have. Now she got two beautiful daughters. They are quite old already. I think the eldest is from 5 already. So you have to know the birth process. There is a lot of suffering that follow. Understand? The fear, the worry, the anxiety, and the complication. If it's a normal birth, no problem. Understand? Whereas the normal living being is the opposite. You talk about birth means what? New moon, full moon, happy, occasion for joy. Because they never see the other side. They only see the happy side, which they want to see. So when the other side happens, when complications come to be, they will be afflicted by this first noble truth. That's why the Buddha said this noble truth or dukkha is to be understood. Means you must see both sides. You must see why the Buddha say birth, old age, sickness and death is dukkha, suffering. You will see them very clearly when you reflect and contemplate. Everything will come out. Because when I was cultivating, I reflect and I contemplate. That's why I understand very fast and I can share and teach. That's why I can have this understanding inside. That's why to me, dukkha is very clear. It's like a cobra. I see it like a cobra. I will never touch it, understand? I will never allow my mind to be deluded, to be conditioned into all this state. That's why I really reflect, contemplate and develop the wisdom. Then I see the noble truth so important, so powerful. So this is how you reflect, inquire, understand? Then when it comes to separation from loved one also, it's from this contemplation and reflection, I link up all the Dhamma. I said, no wonder the Buddha asks us to reflect the five daily contemplation. Understand not? Every day you must reflect and contemplate. This body of mine is of the nature to grow old, for he has not gone beyond old age and decay. This body of ours is of the nature to get sick and die, for he has not gone beyond sickness and death. This tree covers the form, the first three conditions of the first noble truth. Birth, of course, is separate. You have to reflect yourself. Then after that, the fourth reflection is what? Separation. Whatever that you think you own, your loved one and your prized possession, they are condition arising. When there is condition, it's like you own. It belongs to you. When condition cease to be, it cease to be. Means separation is a reality. It will come. It will hit you. That's why you must constantly reflect. They are condition arising, not real, not what you think. When your breath stops, everything ceases to be no more yours. Even when your breath still around, you make a mistake. Your loved ones, they still disappear. Your possession, your wealth, your whatever property, they still separate from you. This is the nature's law. This is the reality of life and existence. So when I reflect, I start to understand why living beings suffer. Why they got health problem, they suffer. Why they got financial problem, they suffer. They got relationship problem, they suffer. Separation. Then they got career problem, they suffer. So all this is part and parcel of the first noble truth. You will come to understand them very clearly. Then the last reflection and contemplation is what? Yeah? What is the last one? We just went through the first part. The Buddha said, each and every one of us, we are what? Well, like that, you all won't catch up. You are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma. Every day you must reflect, then you don't make mistake, understand not? Then you wake up. This is what you must understand. This is the second turning wisdom, understand? Reflect and contemplate on what the Buddha said. Why did my teacher, the Buddha, ask me to every day reflect? You think he nothing to do? Make life so difficult for you? Because he wants you to develop this wisdom fast, understand? This has a lot to do with his teaching, the first noble truth. The right view with regards to law of karma. That's why when you reflect, you become very careful with your karma. Because you ask yourself, no wonder the Buddha asked me to reflect. Why? So that I know, each and every one of us, we are what we are because of our karma. Because we don't take care of karma, our life becomes like that. If we take care of karma, karma takes care of our life. That's why he said, you reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil because evil. You are born of your karma, heir to your karma, you inherit everything. And every moment, every instant, you are being conditioned and supported by your karma. Then don't blame anybody for your life situation and condition, understand not? You are what you are because of your karma. So if you have reflected on this constantly, daily, you would definitely wake up, I tell you. You don't need 7 years to become enlightened. That's not. Within 1 week, you should be already full of virya and sadha. You tell yourself, my life, how come I am so heedless, still want to allow karma to become so powerful, to dictate my life, to make so much misery out of my life and my loved one. Understand not? You are never serious about karma. You like parrot. Oh, just recite. Buddha say, I am born of my karma, heir to my karma, condition, supported by, I am what I am because of my karma. After that, like that child. Okay, tong tong, break, go and play. Never serious. That's why the second turning wisdom is very important, very powerful. Okay, go back, reflect. Then, you better start to cultivate. Last time when I did this, it was every day. And it's non-stop. I every time reflect on the teaching, the Dhamma. Throughout the day, my mind, just with the Dhamma, I always reflect, truth is everywhere, why can't I see? That's how I came to know what truth is. You know what is truth? The universal characteristics of nature. Anicca, dukkha, anatta, impermanence, suffering, etc. And this truth, this universal characteristic is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. That's why you never reflect, never contemplate, you never see. Because you don't have sati, you don't have mindfulness, you don't have the silent mind. You don't know how to investigate. You don't know how to reflect. And you don't know how to arise the wisdom, the three turning wisdom. These are all very powerful. And I tell you, the first turning and the second turning is so much more easier than the third turning. The third turning is very complicated. You must know the Dhamma. You must know the Four Noble Truths, the dependent origination, the Satipatthana Sutta, the seven factors of enlightenment, all the Dhamma that the Buddha teach. Ask you to do the third turning, I tell you, you sure panic. You say, how can I understand all this? But the first two turning is so simple. And this is the base you need. When you have the first two turning, your third turning is very easy. So do not be deluded. Third turning is not what people think so difficult. You only need to have the first two turning. Then when the initial wisdom come about, especially Chintamaya Panya, it will stabilize your understanding and prepare you to receive truth. Then when you know how to make aspiration, like the Buddha teach you, Ipmina Punyang Kamena, Mame Bala Samagamo, Satang Samagamo Hotu, Yava Nivana Patiya. You make aspiration. You say, by the power of all these merits, may it arise the causes and conditions for me to avoid the foolish, the fools. Only meet up with the wise and the enlightened one. So that Nibbana can be realized in the here and the now, soon as possible. You make this type of aspiration, you don't have to do anything. Karma will take you along, understand not? Because of your virtue, your merits, your sincerity and your aspiration. This is understanding the nature's law. So no need to know all those things. All those things will come to you because karma will take you along. Understand not? The aspiration will take you along. That's why for those who understand, you must know how to cultivate merits. Then make the appropriate aspiration so that the causes and conditions will be there for you to move. That's why during the early day when I cultivate, every day I reflect on the Dhamma, non-stop. That's why I understand all this Dhamma inside out. It's because I reflect on it. I understand it. That's why after that when I read any book, Mahayana or whatever, I understand very fast. Sometimes the author also don't understand. Straight away I understand. Sometimes certain truth from other religion also spoken, I understand. The people from that religion still don't understand. That's why truth, reality, wisdom, not what people think. Understanding and wisdom is totally different from knowledge. Knowledge is dead and rigid. Knowledge binds you. So when you have wisdom, it frees you. Totally opposite. Okay? So now you understand, huh? You want to try the second noble truth or not? Huh? We try the second noble truth, huh? Okay, Ingbi, you read. The second noble truth. What is the second turning?
This cause of the arising of dukkha, which is craving, is to be abandoned.
Now we apply the same inquiry. What is the first inquiry? Huh? Why did the Buddha say this there? So, what is the answer? Just like just now. Means you still don't know what is the cause of suffering, is it? Correct or not? You think you know because you read this. Because you think you know through memory. Understand or not? So now the Buddha said, this cause of arising of dukkha, which is craving, is to be abandoned. You ask yourself, why must I abandon this craving? Why did the Buddha say I must abandon? Can I do it? Can I abandon it? Because now I know the cause is craving. So like the first noble truth, this noble truth of dukkha, suffering, is to be understood. Means I not only understood what suffering is, I must understand the cause behind suffering. So I must reflect and contemplate. Why did the Buddha say when I have craving and attachment, I suffer? And then you try, you investigate, you put to test. Whenever I become selfish, I have desire, lust, do I suffer? When I want things my way, do I suffer? And then all this will stand up. No wonder the Buddha said, this cause of arising or suffering, which is craving, or my attachment and grasping born of my delusion, I have to abandon it. Otherwise, I continue to suffer. Understand not? That's why through this reflection and contemplation, I straight away understand the beauty of the Buddha's second turning. No wonder the Buddha said, this cause of arising or suffering, which is craving born of my delusion, is to be abandoned. And then the next question is what? How can I abandon it? Is that correct or not? So how can you abandon it? That's why the teaching is all there. The four right efforts, understand or not? Then the five ways to turn around unwholesome thought. That's why all is there. That's how I connect the Dhamma. From the contemplation and the reflection, I connect all the Dhamma. No wonder the Buddha said, you have to arise the four right efforts to abandon the unwholesome thought, the craving that has arisen, the delusion that has arisen, then to arise the right effort to prevent the arising of this unwholesome thought, the wrong speech and the wrong action. Yeah. Then the two more right effort to arise the wholesome thought, the right speech and the right action that is still not in me. Understand? That's how you cultivate wholesomeness. That's how the second advice of the Buddha, all evil avoid, then cultivate whatever wholesomeness and goodness wherever there is condition. Then the last right effort is to arise the right effort to refine or to actually maintain, refine upon. To me, the more appropriate word should be refine upon. The text always say maintain. I don't think the Buddha meant that. If I were the Buddha, I may not have the wisdom like the Buddha, but to me, you have to refine upon whatever goodness that you have. Maintaining it is not enough. You know what happened to the Chinese? They talk about the three generation of wealth. Huh? The wealth never passed beyond the second generation. You know why? First generation suffer, work very hard to get the wealth, to grow the wealth. Second generation, they say, okay, don't do anything, just maintain enough. Understand? As long as you don't lose it, you cannot finish what I have. Jia Bi Liang. But when you start to maintain, what happened? You cannot maintain because you don't grow, you don't refine. But without understanding, this wealth will disappear. Understand? So maintaining is making the child complacent. Do not train them. They don't have the survival skill. That's why when crisis come, they make mistake. They lost all their wealth. Because they don't have the survival skill. They have been pampered. The parent pampered them so much. Everything also no need to know. I have enough for you. You just maintain. Don't lose it. Enough. But the kid been pampered. They will use. And as well, then they will be influenced by what people tell them. That's why don't maintain. You have to refine upon it. The right effort to refine upon whatever wholesomeness and goodness that you already have. That's why bring it to perfection. Understand? That's why it's a paramita, perfection. Yeah. So when you understand this, you know how to develop it. Yeah. So a lot of these things, you don't need to ask the text or go and argue with people. Through your own understanding, you will know. Even I myself will not do that. What more the Buddha? He's the fully enlightened one. He sure will understand it better. Yeah. That's why a lot of the Dhamma that people talk about, when I read, I straight away know. You may tell me these are the original word of the Buddha. I said no. Because if it's the Buddha, he won't speak like that. Because this is not the truth anymore. Understand? So that's why when I read or I hear something, I straight away understand whether it's from the Buddha or not. The textbook can say anything they like. Understand? Even Mahayana text, Vajrayana text, or whatever text, they can claim anything. But if it's not the truth, you straight away understand. Cannot be from the Buddha. The Buddha will never say all these things. So all this you will come to understand where the Dhamma is Pachetang, can be realized by the wise, each for themselves, nobody else. Okay? So now you know how to inquire, huh? Then maybe you go back, do the third noble truth and the fourth noble truth yourself. Next week, we try. Okay? Okay? Take it seriously, huh? Otherwise, you won't learn. I have been very patient, but your life, you decide. Sometimes when I can feel that it has not gone in, that's why I repeat. But after I repeat, it still didn't go in. I have to say it out. Understand? Otherwise, you still complacent. Otherwise, the Dhamma cannot go in. And this era is very unique. That's why don't waste it. Make full use of what you have. The bottom line is your life, you decide. But ask yourself, is it worthwhile? If I commit myself, maybe maximum 7 years, which I don't think so. Maximum 3 years, like what Sen was said. It makes so much difference to your entire life and existence, understand not? Future life. Every life you come, you have the Dhamma, you have the inheritance. You are so beautiful. That's why I say life can be wonderful, beautiful. Not what you think, not what the living being think. And I can confirm to you that it is so beautiful, so wonderful. It can be done. Okay? So we end, 6 o'clock. Yeah, exactly 6 o'clock. So you go back, do the second turning for the third noble truth and the fourth noble truth. If you got any question with regard to the first and second noble truth, second turning, you can also ask me. Okay? Okay, now we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits. Then after that, we will recite the what they call blessing for the country. Okay. Sharing our merits with the devas. Akasata chubumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anavoditwa chirang rakantu lokasasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Ita vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed one. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Let this marriage accrue to our departed relatives, and may they all to be well and happy. Okay, now we invoke the blessings for the country. Devo satukalena sasa sampati hito cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a good and rich harvest. May the world be prosperous and peaceful always. May the government of the day and the king of the day be righteous. Then you can make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawat nivana patiya. By the grace of this marriage that I have thus acquired, may I never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully with the faith to all the worthy ones. Sakyamuni Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones.